Cool. Trust everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Good, good. Good. Tonight, we're starting chapter 4, the church in all the fullness. Before we go into chapter 4, I want to do just a brief review of chapter 3, which gave us the purpose of the church. Three purposes were, one, can you get your notes out? Ain't no problem. Get your notes out. To connect to heaven to reveal the Father, right? Yeah. Second one was to shut down the gates of hell, right? And the third one, extend the kingdom without limitations. So that's the purpose of the church. All right, the purpose of the church is to do those three things. Be connected to heaven so that the Father can be revealed. Number two, shut down the gates of hell. Then once the gates of hell is shut down, then the kingdom of God can be extended without limitations. All right? So once, now that we understand the purpose of the church, I want to take a few minutes because we're going to go over chapter 4 and 5 because they're very brief chapters. 4 and 5 to show you how that's going to be done. All right? Number one, the purpose of the church is to connect to heaven to reveal the Father. That is the purpose of the church, to reveal the Father. That's the purpose of the church. Who is the church?
We are.
We are. So it's our responsibility to reveal the Father. This is why it makes so important the statement that Jesus made. I don't do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. I don't say nothing unless the Father tells me to say it. Because he understood his purpose was to reveal the Father. So that's why his connection to heaven was so important. All right. This is why God didn't leave it up to you for you to determine your connection to heaven. He left it up to the redemption plan. So let's think about this concept. A lot of times as Christians, we like to play defense. We like to play defense. We're always binding something. We're always coming against something instead of being. So once you got born again, it's no longer you trying you're trying to become right. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So it's not me trying to connect to heaven. It is I am connected to heaven. I am connected to heaven. So the question is now, I'm connected to heaven, so now I have to reveal the Father. All right? The Father, God our Father, will be revealed to people in many different ways. We have all different walks of life. We come from different places because the Father revealed through us will be displayed in different ways to other people so that they can see. Right. All right. So even though we're different, we have different backgrounds, we come from different places, as long as we have one agenda. Amen. You see, the purpose of the church, see, to reveal the Father, to shut down the gates of hell, and to what? Extend the kingdom. All right? Without limitation. All right? So here in the fourth chapter, turn me to 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter 2. The Apostle Peter here is giving us how God sees us. How God sees us. And so if we can begin to see ourselves as God sees us, then our connection to heaven will not be something that's forced. It's not something that we're trying to do. See, you're not trying to connect to heaven. when you got born again, you are connected to heaven. The issue is we have to get that soul out of the way. That's why Romans 12:2 is so important, that renew our minds so that we don't conform to this world, but be transformed so that we can prove or recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So once we begin to see ourselves as God sees us, we'll realize that we're not trying to get connected to heaven. We are connected to heaven. See, that's important, because a lot of times we face so many dark issues in our lives and trouble in our lives. Then we figure by going to God, we're connected to heaven. No, you're all. See, that's defense. See, offense is I'm already connected to heaven. All right, I'm already connected to heaven. We have to understand that I'm already connected to heaven. So it's not me going to God, it's God coming from me. Are you seeing this? Because now if I have now the only way that can happen, see, the only reason why most Christians are in the frame of mind of that they gotta keep coming to God is because they don't have the same agenda as God. See, that's why I would focus so much on about being self-centric and God-centric. See, when you're God-centric, you're from a standpoint of God is the center. We are one. So God is coming from me. Is that making sense? So a lot of times the reason why we play defense and the reason why we keep saying we have to go to God is because of our agenda. We haven't yielded our agenda. So we have to leave our place, our agenda, our place of our agenda, and go back to his. I give you a good example. Most people do this. A lot of people, especially sinners, do this. Sinners do this all the time. God, if you do this one thing for me, I promise you, I'll serve you. I'll never do this again. That's them leaving their agenda, realizing they can't handle it on their own, and saying, God, I'm actually in word, they're trying to submit their lives to him. See? So when you come from a place of your life is already submitted at all times, then God can work from us. Is that making sense? So that's why I'm connected to heaven, so I can reveal the Father coming from me. All right. Once the Father is revealed and he's revealed from me, that means now the power of the enemy is no longer effective personally in my life and no longer effective in the people around me. That's why Jesus was so powerful, because he can walk in the midst of diseases. He can walk in the midst of chaos, and chaos has to leave, and diseases and sickness have to leave. That's why poverty could never stay in the same place as Jesus, because it was coming. Prosperity coming from him. That's why the sickness and disease couldn't stay, because the power was coming from him. Is that making sense? And so therefore, people don't realize how powerful a thing that Jesus did. When Jesus died on the cross, we always take it as a personal idea of him dying on the cross for my sins. But Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. So he actually was establishing the kingdom without limit. Right. Yeah. So the cross is the beginning of the establishment of the kingdom of God without limit, because he not only took care of the present sin, he took care of the past, and he took care of sins that had not been committed yet. Right. You see what I'm saying? So understanding that I'm not trying to get connected to heaven, I am connected to heaven. When I understand I am connected to heaven, then I can realize what Peter is saying. All right, 1 Peter, the second chapter, and the 9th verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The church, the church is supposed to take off where Jesus left off. Romans the 8th chapter. Let's see, Romans the 8th chapter. Turn there. Remember now, stop being on defense. See, if you see, the Old Testament, they had to go to God. But I'm under the New Testament. He's with me. Romans the 8th chapter. So now if you're dealing with something in your life and it doesn't seem like it's changing, it's not that God ain't doing something on your behalf. The question is, are you allowing him? See, allowing him to do something on your behalf. Not trying to make him do something on your behalf, but allowing him to do something on your behalf. Now you're changing from a stance of defense to offense. Number one, I'm not fazed by the situation in front of me because I'm not questioning about why it happened. I'm not questioning about if it should have happened. That's not the issue. The issue is it's happened. Here we are. Now, God, how you want to do this? How do you want to be revealed? Because I'm already connected to you. Yeah. Is that making sense? Yeah. Romans the 8th chapter, verse 11. The Apostle Paul saying, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So we see there that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. So now notice what Apostle Paul says. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Now let's think about that for a moment. The same spirit that helped Jesus accomplish what he was sent here to do is with me. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, meaning the same Holy Spirit that helped Jesus do one of the most significant events that will ever take place in mankind, the Holy Spirit helped him, and the Holy Spirit is in me. All right? So that's why in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, that's why he said you're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. See, show forth the praise of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are the ones that's supposed to establish and to finish what Jesus had started. See, now if our purpose as Christians is to finish what Jesus has started, then that means we can't be distracted by our mundane situations. I said that on purpose. Because to you, your situation is big as all get out. Because it's you. But if you learn to realize that your situation is not bigger than who's on the inside of you, and that your objective is not just get out of this situation, your objective is to let the Father be revealed. And the Father being revealed, get you out of the situation. Not only get you out of the situation or whatever circumstance you're in, but others will see and be attracted to who you are because of who he is in you. Are you seeing this? See, so that's why you can't get caught up on just your situation. You can't get just caught up on what you're dealing with. You have to realize I'm connected to heaven. Because I'm connected to heaven, that means God is with me. He's on the inside of me. Wherever I'm at, God is there with me. Now, why in the world would we allow God to be there with us and not give him a chance to be revealed? Are you seeing it? The creator of everything, of the heavens and the earth. Why do we have him with us and we won't let him be revealed? You are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We are supposed to finish what Jesus started. Go ahead, sir. See, that's the. Now, I'm glad you asked that question, because now you understand you can't reveal whom you don't know. Right? So this is why Romans 12 and 2, I said earlier, is so important. That you be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why I need my mind renewed? So that I can prove or recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Matter of fact, turn them. Turn them. Now, this is, we read verse 2, and it says, be not conformed to this world. Well, let's start at verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right? That's you realizing that you're connected to heaven. You're not trying to get connected to heaven. You are connected to heaven. And the only thing that will cause disconnection, or not so much disconnection, but the blockage. It's almost like the veins in your body. If you ain't eating right, they're gonna clog up. Blood can't flow. That don't mean the blood ain't there. It just can't get to where it's supposed to get to. So you, as a Christian, for those who are look like they're participating in the curse of the law, there's a blockage. And guess what that blockage is? The blockage is you. Because here the Apostle Paul is simply saying, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove or recognize what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, the Apostle Paul talking to every man that is among you, not, here it is, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's important. It didn't say that you shouldn't think highly of yourself. Not more highly than you should. But to think soberly, according to God has dealt to every man their part of the assignment. So now we see, in order for me to understand how I'm going to reveal the Father, I have to spend time with the Father so that I don't conform. See, this is why faith or your assignment is so important, because now I'm not going conforming now. I'm not going to my job or my business with the same purpose as everybody around me. I'm not going, listen to me, I'm not going for the same purpose. All people that are not born again, and most of Christians that go to work going for one reason. Going for that check. Right there, you're violating the principle. Luke 16 and Matthew 6. You cannot serve. All right. So now here's the question. So now let's clear this up. So you're saying, so I'm not going to work for this check, so they paying me. Yes, they should pay you. Because you live, watch this, you operate in this system, but you're not of this system. Are you seeing this? So I can't think more highly of myself than I ought to think. I need to think according to my assignment. What they're really saying is, I'm only thinking according to what God has assigned me to do. And my assignment is ever growing. Because the assignment grows when I've proved faithful where I'm at. Is this making sense? So when I prove faithful where I'm at, that means I can reveal more of the Father later. Why? Because the Father can trust me. Go to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 1. It says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. But don't stop there. Go to verse 2. Moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, full of faith, full of assignment. So if I want to have access to the mysteries of God, I'm going to have to be faithful. Because if I'm not full of faith, what that really means? That means I have to be full of God's, my purpose, my heart, Romans 12, chapter verse 1. I'm a living sacrifice. I eat, sleep, and breathe the agenda of God. I eat, sleep, drink, breathe the agenda of God. I can't go all day without the agenda of God being on my mind. I can't go 10 or 15 minutes and not wondering, not even wondering or thinking about what God, what you want. God, what you need. I want to be sensitive to you. And being sensitive to God is not, see, that's why I hate religion. It's not an act. It's a commitment. It's a discipline. It's when you when nobody else want to do it, or when your body don't want to do it, you're committed. Yeah. That's right. Amen. So this royal priesthood, we have to be that way if we're going to reveal the Father. Right. See, have to eat, sleep, drink, and breathe the agenda of God. Yes, sir. I ain't moving. I ain't making no major decision in my life until I hear from God. I'm not taking another job. I'm not starting no other business. I'm not doing none of that until I hear from God. Is that making sense? Because it says, moreover, it's required that a steward be found faithful, trustworthy, dependable, can be relied on. I cannot access the mysteries of God. What is the, let's think about this. What is the mysteries of God? The mysteries of God is just Jeremiah 29:11. Turn there. The mysteries of God is nothing more than Jeremiah 29:11. That's the mysteries of God, Jeremiah 29:11. You see it? You see it, internet? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That's the mysteries of God. That's what the mysteries of God is. Now, in order for me to access this, see, you don't access the thoughts of God automatically. You're not going to access the thoughts of God without being transformed in your mind. You're not going to access the mysteries of God without being faithful, full of faith, full of assignment, full of God's agenda. And you can be full of faith not knowing what the agenda is. Because if you notice, you read throughout the Bible, it was prophesied. It was prophesied that a Messiah was coming. A Messiah was coming. But you know why Jesus was crucified? He was crucified because at that particular time, that's how they were killing prisoners. So Jesus was on earth not really knowing how he was going to sacrifice himself, but he had to be faithful, full of the agenda, so that when you do go into your Garden of Gethsemane, you can say, nevertheless. When Jesus said, nevertheless, the Father was then revealed. And the kingdom of God was being advanced and established with no limitations. We are a part of that. You are a part of that. You are a part of that. I'm a part of that. But I can't be a part of it and not operate like Jesus, not operate like the Apostle Paul, not operate like the Apostle Peter. I have to see myself as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a holy nation. You seen this? A peculiar people. I've been translated out of darkness into light, into his marvelous light. Right? So I have to spend time with this light, with our Father, if I'm going to reveal him, so that his kingdom can be established. And once again, if that's the case, I cannot, listen to me, I cannot be double-minded. I can't have two agendas. That's why you can't be self-centric and God-centric. It's only going to be one or the other. I don't have time to be self-centric if I'm God-centric. I don't have time to be God-centric if I'm self-centered. See, that's the whole issue. That's Satan's whole issue. Self-centered, ego, pride. That's what keeps you out of the will of God. So when you can't check your ego, you can't check your pride, you can't check your self-centeredness, that's what gets in the way. You! Is that making sense? We are a people for God's own possession, so that we are totally yielded, committed, and available for the pleasure of his will. Philippians 2. Verse 13, Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Simply means that God is working through you to get his will accomplished. And in the process of getting his will accomplished, your will is accomplished. Are you seeing this? See, if you don't spend time with the Father, it's going to be impossible for you to ever wrap your mind around his agenda. Then it's going to be impossible for you to reveal him. So you have to make time. And watch this. That's why he called those 12 men and then plus some others that follow him disciples. Root word, discipline. This is something you got to decide to do. Once you make the decision to do it, the Holy Spirit will help you. It's not something that God's going to make you do. If God makes you do this, then it's no longer an act of submission. It's no longer an act of love. It's I'm forced. So he says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, here's where we're going to start understanding why the church, why he gave gifts unto men. This is why he gave gifts unto men, Ephesians 4. Now, this is why training centers like these are important, are very important, because the Western culture has taken these five gifts, tried to eliminate two of them, and made it about talent more so than gifting. The way I can tell is some pastors, they run into some pressure and they cave. Well, if you caving as a pastor, that means that you should never been in that position in the first place. Let's be real. You should never been in that position in the first place, because if you are to look out for people and you can't look out for, let's see if I can find it real quick, because people like to gloss over these scriptures. The Apostle Paul is very thorough. Let me find this real quick. All right, 1 Timothy, the third chapter. 1 Timothy, the third chapter. See, a lot of people gloss over this. Paul was very thorough. And if you look at a lot of people today, that call themselves pastors in the fivefold ministry gift, don't fit this. There's a reason. All right, because when we go back to Ephesians 4, I'm going to show you the reason, because now, remember now, if we're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, if I'm born again, I get born again. I'm not trying to become a royal priesthood. I'm not trying to become a peculiar people. I'm not trying to become a holy nation. When I get born again, I am a royal priesthood. See, the way the kingdom works is, you are, then you learn how to function in it. I hope you got that. When you become born again, you are, and you have to learn how to function in it. All right? And so that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry gift, is to teach us how to function. I cannot teach you how to function if I don't know how to function. This is where discipline, this is why Jesus took the disciples and walked with them, so they could become disciplined. They can learn to become disciplined. Disciplined, they become the practice what Jesus was doing. That's why they were able to perform miracles. That's why they were able to do what they were called to do, because they were disciplined. In their training, they became disciplined. This is a true saying, verse 1. If a man desired the office of a bishop, he desired a good work. Verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor a striker, nor greed or filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. For one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know, listen to this, for if a man know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? I go back to Ephesians 4. Back to Ephesians 4. The Apostle Paul talking again in the fourth chapter, he said he gave, the 11th verse, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Here's the part I'm going to get to. Verse 12, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, it's chronological order. We talked about this before, the chronological order. For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints. Why? So that the work of the ministry can be accomplished. Why? So that the body of Christ can be edified or built. So the Apostle Paul is giving us the insight that though we are born again, we are a royal priesthood, we are a peculiar people, we are a holy nation. That means we now have to train on how to function in that. And that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry gifts, is to help us to learn how to function. And so I can't learn how to function from someone who themselves don't know how to function. That's why I don't believe in no novice preachers. Everybody big on when you preach your first sermon. I don't want to know when you preach your first sermon. I don't even care. I don't even care about preaching the first sermon. That's old paradigm. I don't even care about preaching the first sermon. First of all, tell me who you've been serving. Because then I'm going to tell you how you're going to preach. Then I'm going to tell you if you're going to preach by talent or you're going to preach by Holy Spirit. See? Because remember now, the purpose of the fivefold is to mature the saints, right? Get the saints ready for the work of the ministry. You're getting ready for the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be built or edified or can grow. That's the kingdom being established without limitations. It's all hinged upon the fivefold doing what they're supposed to do. So that's why I don't get it with these prophets. And well, we got it bad in America. These prophets, listen, I believe, go back to 1 Timothy 3rd chapter, because I'm going to show you something. See, people don't realize how God uses prosperity to find out your level of maturity. Back to 1 Timothy. Third chapter, verse 3. He says he's not given the wine nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre. Other words, not going after money. See, not going after money, because if you are operating as a fivefold ministry gift properly, God is your source. And whatever you need, God is going to make happen for you. Do I have a Bible for it? Yes. Jesus told the disciples, go out. Don't take nothing with you. Are you seeing? Are you, this making sense? So, therefore, the first mark I'm looking for when somebody calls himself a prophet, is this working for you? Yes. Is this working for you? Before you call yourself an apostle, is this working for you? See, because if I can't get this to work for me, how am I going to teach it to somebody else? How? So that's why this training center is such a, 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 It's needful because we can learn what we need, what needs to be adjusted in us. You see, what has to be shifted in us? What has to be taken out of us? What has to be put in us? So we can be trained on how to function. Nobody said that if God called you, some of y'all got callers in your life. Nobody said you're not called. Being called and knowing how to function is two different things. Being called and knowing how to function is very two different things. You can be something, but if you don't know how to function in it, what's the use? What's the use? Yeah, what's the use? You know, that's why Apostle deals with us in LTMA by carrying titles. Because titles, you know the real purpose of titles? The real purpose of titles is so that somebody who has no clue about what's going on can hear that title and know how to perceive you. And what we're doing in the States and pretty other world is we're carrying titles and people looking for a certain thing and they're not seeing it. So it's causing confusion. It's causing confusion, because if I go in there and I walk into a hospital with a white jacket on, and I got Dr. Thompson on me, because I'm claiming I got a medical degree, right? I'm walking there with somebody when I go into somebody's room and they see that white jacket, they're expecting something. They're expecting something. See, that's why I believe that fivefold ought to be held at another level, right? Another level of accountability. Right. See, when I walk into a barbershop and you standing behind a chair, if I sit in a chair, I expect you to cut my hair. Don't come in there talking about, I don't know what I'm doing. Right. Get from behind the chair. Right. Yeah. Right. You said you know how to cut hair. Right. So I have a high expectation. See, preachers should have high expectations on them. They should have, fivefold should have high expectation. Because first of all, it should be put on ourselves. I put it on myself. Are you seeing this? So this is why the apostolic is so important, and why the fivefold and training centers like this is, because we have to lift up our standard. We have to realize if the Apostle Paul is saying that the whole body of Christ need to be a living sacrifice, then we need to be a living sacrifice. I had to turn up the intensity in my sacrifice. There's certain things I'm not gonna do. There's certain places I'm not gonna go. You see, it's certain people I'm just not gonna hang with. This is what it is. And so what that does, it calls sanctification. Sanctification is God separating you, right? And then it's consecration. Consecration is you separating yourself. See, sanctification is God separating you. Consecration is you saying, I'm receiving the sanctification and I'm going to choose to separate myself. See, so there not only must be a sanctification, there must be a consecration. And that consecration, the separation, see, I'm going to end with this. I was reading a book one time, and the gentleman was riding, was writing, and in the book he wrote, he said, you cannot follow the herd. He said, you can't follow a herd. Because eventually you're going to step in some. That's right. I ain't cuss. That's right. All y'all cussed in y'all mind. Eventually you're going to step in some stuff. Right. So that's where the sanctification and the consecration comes into play. Because when God separates you and then you accept the call and you separate yourself, that means now God can prepare you so that you don't conform. Right. You'll be transformed. Right. Are you seeing this? So that as we come back as fivefold ministry gifts, as we come back, because the purpose, our purpose is to what? Ephesians 4:11, what? 4:12, what it is? Come on. We got to know this. the maturing or the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Are you seeing it? See, that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry gift. See, so if I'm claiming to be a part of that, if God has called me to be, listen to me, internet, if God has called me to be a part of that, I am part of the group that's supposed to make that happen. I can't make that happen if I don't know how to function. So that's why I have to take time to learn how to function. Because if I don't learn how to function in it, then I can't relay it to anybody else. And then the church cannot come into its fullness. Because the fullness, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because the priest rejected knowledge. Is this making sense? See, so the fullness of the church cannot take place until the fivefold, who we are, what we say we are, and what we've called to do, learn how to function. That's why we have the culture of honor, because not only do we have to function together. You know, now that's why you have to declare the spirit of honor. Not that we have to know how to function, we got to learn how to function together, and we have to learn how to recognize rank. Right. See, we have to learn that we're working together, and that there are some people that have proven themselves with God in areas we haven't proven yet. Yeah. That don't mean they better than us. Right. That don't mean we less. It just is what it is. They've proven themselves with God. If I pay attention long enough, I'll be able to put myself where I can prove them. But what was, close here, what was stopping from doing that? My ego, my pride, and self-centered. Is that making sense? I'll see y'all next week. Thank you all.